So like Pastor David said, man, we are going to start a new series today. And before I get started, I always want to thank Pastor for giving me this opportunity to come up here and preach to you guys. It just always means a lot. But this series, I Want a Better Life. And I think that that's something that absolutely all of us can relate to, that we want a better life. No matter how good your life is, no matter if you have the best marriage right now, there's probably part of you that says, I would like for it to be a little bit better. Or no matter how good your job is, or no matter how good your kids are doing, or no matter how any of that is going, there's still room, I think, that all of us would say, you know what, I want a better life. I want something in my life that kind of takes me to that next level, whether it's in the relationship with my wife or my kids. I want it to be better. I want everything in my life to be the best that can be. So what we're going to do during this series is we're going to look at some very practical things that we can do to have a better life. And today we're going to start very simply, pray. If you want a better life, pray. And it's not one of those things of like, there's no special prayers or any of that. It's we pray because we are praying to a holy and sovereign God who is for us. And so when we come to him and we pray to him, man, we know that our God is for us. And if God is for us, there's nobody that's going to be against us. Amen. There's nobody that can be against us. So if you want a better life, if you want to go to this next place in your life, we have to start with prayer. It says it this way in Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. And for so many of us, probably even when we hear the word prayer, and I know at least for me, there are a ton of different emotions and thoughts and things that come to mind because of my past, because of my experiences with prayer, because of the things that people have said to me about prayer. And so what I did is I just kind of wrote down, you know, three different prayers that I've seen and that I've seen people kind of, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, show to all of us, I guess. The first one is the desperation prayer. This is the prayer where we come to God and it is, dear God, please help me in this moment. God, I need you. It's the desperation prayer. It's the man where you come and you cry out and you are absolutely desperate. I think this is kind of the prayer that Peter prayed as Peter's sinking in the water, as after he's walking on it, Jesus, get me, you know, like as he's sinking. There was this moment of desperation. For me, it was the moment that our daughter was born and we didn't know if she was going to live or not. And they took me into a room and told me that. I was a desperation prayer. There's nothing wrong with those prayers as long as they're not the only ones that we pray. The second type we call the spiritual prayer. Now, we call this the spiritual prayer because the first thing that we do in praying the spiritual prayer is we change the tone of our voice so that God can more clearly hear my prayers to him. And we also, now this is key in the spiritual prayer, you have to speak in perfect King James English. If you pray it any other way, it won't work. And so, dear Heavenly Father, thus in the heavenly realm, I kind of went Hannibal Lecter on you guys a little bit right there. Heavenly realms, God, I knoweth that you heareth me. And that God's like, man, oh, there he is. Now I hear him praying. Now there he changed his tone and Holy Spirit, I didn't before that, but now I got him. The third one is the if prayer. And this is something, honestly, that I see a lot today with students and young adults and just adults in general. That if I pray this and if I do this, then God has to do this. If I read the scripture this way and if I interpret, then God does this. And it's amazing to me that we've taken such a practical tool as prayer, such a practical thing, such a powerful thing, and we've made it so unbelievably creepy and weird at times that we would feel that to come to our Heavenly Father, that we would, and I don't even know where we get it from sometimes. Where was it that when we decided, hey, you know what, when I come to God and pray, I'm going to change the tone of my voice? Where did that come from? There was nothing with Jesus and the disciples. He's like, all right, guys, here's the deal. When you start praying to my dad, you really want to kind of go up a couple notches in your octave and just speak like you would never normally speak. And so we've made it so weird and we've made it so difficult at times for people that honestly, man, this is something that I've struggled with for a long time in my life is prayer and understanding it. Because there are so many different books out there. There are so many different things out there that are telling us all these different things about prayer, that are telling us all these different ways to think about prayer and how to pray. And if you do this the right way, then this will happen. If you don't do it the right way, then this won't happen. If you don't believe hard enough, then you're not. And so what happens is we end up getting so wrapped up into all of this stuff about prayer that we end up confusing ourselves and we end up taking out, man, that prayer is simply three things. It's talking, listening, and growing closer to God. That's it. It is talking, listening, and growing closer to God. It is us being in a relationship with God. And nobody knew this better than Nehemiah at times. Nehemiah, if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to Nehemiah chapter 1. This is a prayer. We're going to look at a prayer that Nehemiah prays. Now, Nehemiah, he has heard that the wall in Jerusalem has been destroyed. And so he is going to go to King Artaxerxes and ask, can I go back and help rebuild this wall? And so this prayer, we're going to read verses 5 and 7, and then we're going to skip down and read verses 10 and 11. This is a prayer that he prays to King Artaxerxes that he would be able to go back. And what we're going to look at is what can we learn about prayer from this one passage. But before we get into that, will you guys pray with me? Heavenly Father, God, I pray that in these next few moments as I speak, that you would speak through me. God, that you would take all of us to just a deeper place with you and your Son, Jesus Christ, that we would just have a understanding of what prayer is and, God, how you have designed it and created it. God, allow us to use this tool that you have given us to communicate with you, God, just in a strong and holy way. God, we love you and thank you in your Son's holy name. Amen. So I'm going to go ahead and start reading. This is Nehemiah. O Lord God, I cried out, O great and awesome God who keeps his promises and is so loving and kind to those who love and obey him. Hear my prayer. Listen carefully to what I say. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people Israel. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, I and my people have committed the horrible sin of not obeying the commandments you gave through your servant Moses. We are your servants, the people you rescued by your great power. O Lord, please hear my prayer. Heed the prayers of those who delight to honor you. Please help me know as I go in and ask the king for a great favor. Put it into his heart to be kind to me. The first thing that we see Nehemiah do here is praise. He praises God. And I just want to give all you guys a heads up for you fill in the blank people. My points are going to spell the word pray. So somebody's like, yes. The first thing that we see Nehemiah do is he praises God. O Lord God, I cried out, O great and awesome God who keeps his promises and is so loving and kind to those who love and obey him. Man, when we come to God in prayer, when we come to God, we have got to show God and we have got to praise God for who he is. And I don't think that there is any way that we can not praise God if we have the correct perspective of who God is and who we are. And so what Nehemiah is doing in this moment is he is saying to God, I know who you are. You are a great and loving God. You are a kind God. And because of that, I praise you. Man, we have got to know who we're praying to. We have got to know that this God that we are asking, that we are praying to, man, that he is unbelievably worthy of our praises. And that comes with having the right perspective of God, that he is a massive, gigantic God that is sovereign above absolutely everything else, that everything that we see that he created in this universe, that he took the time to knit you together, to put you together, to mold you, to shape you. And then even after that, we rebelled against him in sin. And then he loved us enough to send his son, Jesus Christ, to the cross to pay for our sins, which is deserving of our praise. And then even after that, all of us still sin. We still go the opposite way, but he still chases us in love. He still pursues us. And I don't know about you, but I have that perspective of God. And so anytime that I come to God to pray or whatever, man, it starts with a praise. It starts with a God, thank you so much. God, thank you because you are a great and awesome and mighty and strong and loving and kind and merciful and graceful God. God, thank you. And we have to start. We start with that praise. The Bible says in Psalm 22:3 that God inhabits the praises of his people. Man, that we come to him knowing that who he is. And we start by honoring him. Even when Jesus starts the Lord's Prayer and he teaches us how to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Jesus is praising God in this moment. And I want to take some lessons from Jesus. Anybody out there? Hey, like, can we, you know, we praise him. And then the other thing, just simply, man, as I get older, I realize the blessings of God in my life. I realize the things that maybe I had missed in my 20s. I know y'all don't think I'm older than 20, but I am. My hairline tells the tale. In my 20s, man, I realize the things as I get older, the blessings in my life. I realized the friendships and the family and the career and the calling and the purpose. I realized that no matter how scary and hard it gets at times, no matter how, you know, not feeling in those moments of that God may be there, but that he's still there, that even in the midst of my sin, that he's still chasing me, man, I realized that. I realized those blessings. And so out of my own heart, I genuinely like, God, thank you. God, I praise you. God, I am not deserving or worthy of any of this, God, and you are simply giving this to me, and you are simply doing for no other reason but you love me. And so, God, because of that, I praise you. The first thing is, man, we've got to praise God. The second thing that we see Nehemiah does is repent. Nehemiah repents. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, I and my people have committed the horrible sin of not obeying the commandments you gave us through your servant Moses. Some of us, all of us, because the Bible is very clear that absolutely every single one of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that we'd need to take a note from Nehemiah. And when we open these altars at the end of this service for us to respond, that we would come to this altar and that we would repent, that we would say, God, we're sorry. Listen, God's given us the way to do this. Thank God we don't have to sacrifice goats anymore for repentance. Thank God that we don't have to do some weird cleansing ritual to be forgiven of our sins. And pastor's not like, okay, I have to atone for all of your sins now. And he like shoots a cow on stage or something to appease. Like, thank God. And that we don't allow him to carry pistols. But thank God that he loved us enough for him to atone for our sins through his son, Jesus Christ. And all we have to do is repent for it. All we have to do is come to God and say, God, I know. I haven't done what's right. God, I know that I've messed up. God, even in, I love what Paul says, the things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things that I don't want to do, I do. Like, Paul said that, like, we should all just realize at the end of the day, we're all sinners, but thank God that we're sinners who are saved by grace, and there's absolutely nothing that we can do to gain our freedom, to gain our forgiveness. It's all by what Jesus Christ did on the cross, and God has given us that, and all we have to do is come and repent at the altar. And when we do that, we know that God is a good and just and faithful God. And the Bible tells us that he will separate our sins as far away as the east is from the west. And so he doesn't look at you like that anymore. You have to remember that when God sees you, he's looking through the filter of his son, Jesus Christ. So when we see sin and brokenness and bustedness in our own lives, God sees his son, Jesus Christ. And he has paid for our forgiveness. He has paid for our transgressions. He has paid for our sins. And we just have to repent. One of the things that I hear so much when I sit and counsel people is, well, I just don't feel like God hears me. I don't feel like when I pray that God listens to me. I don't feel that God even cares or hears me or even is going to do anything about my sins. Am I in a relationship with God? I mean, am I saved? And they start asking these questions. Yeah, you're saved. Yes, you're in a relationship with God. But sin, unconfessed sin, has a way of blocking us from God. This is what it says in Isaiah 59, 1 through 2. It says, listen, I love this part, listen. The Lord's arm is not too weak to save you, nor is his ear too deaf to hear you call. It's your sins that have cut you off from God. There's some of us, man, that we have been believing and we have been praying and we have been asking and we have been doing all of these things, but we are living lives with a ton of unconfessed sin. And until we come to God and repent and say, God, I know the way that I've been living my life is not honoring to you, is not glorifying to you, man, we are going to continue to feel like our prayers go unanswered. So we have got to come to God and we have got to repent because, listen, sin over time can build up and can build a sin wall that can block you from God. Now, don't get weird. Let's not get weird about it. Let's not be like, okay, is there any, like, the Holy Spirit will reveal the things to you that you need to repent of. You don't have to go on this huge search for the things that you did when you were 12 years old to get forgiveness. God will reveal them to your heart. And when he reveals them, you turn to God in repentance, not condemnation. There's a difference between conviction and condemnation. Condemnation is from Satan and it wants to keep you right where you are and beat you up. Conviction wants to turn you to a holy God. That's what we see in the parable of the lost son. is that when he's eating the slop, he remembers the goodness of his father, and that conviction turns him from his wicked ways to his holy father. And that is what we need to do in repentance. Let me put it to you this way. Let's say that I sin against my wife. Let's say that I forget our anniversary. And men, we all know how that goes, correct? Like birthday, no, it's no big deal. It's okay. No, I'm not mad at you. Like 3 days later, she's like, ah, and you're like, I don't know what happened. So let's say that I sin against my wife. Let's say that I forget our anniversary. Am I still married to my wife? Yes. Does my wife still love me? I hope so, but yes. But see, what I've done because I've sinned against her is I have broken my intimacy with my wife. I have messed up our relationship. I have messed up that communication. We're still married. We're still in love. But I've broken that intimacy. And until I go back and make things right with her and ask her for her forgiveness, that intimacy will continue to stay broken. Some of you in here, listen, you're saved. I mean, Jesus Christ is your Savior. You have accepted him. He is working in your life and he is doing some amazing things. But right now you are just living with some broken intimacy. And the beautiful thing is at the end of this service, you can come to this altar or you can sit in your seat and you can ask God to forgive you of the sin in your life and repent and restore the intimacy like that. And that is deserving of our praise. Amen? The third thing is ask. Nehemiah says this in verse 11, "O Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to my prayers of those who delight in honoring you." Some of us, man, we just need to very simply ask God for the things that are on our heart. We need to ask God just simply for the things that we are believing for. And we know that God is good to answer them. But here's the thing. Some of us need to be obedient in the things that God has already spoken before we ask for new blessings. There's a lot of us in here that because financial times are hard and tough, that we have been praying for a raise, that we have been praying for a promotion, praying for a job. But what we're not doing is being obedient in the first place with what we already have. So we're saying, God, please bless me. God, please, I need this job. I need this promotion. God, I need more money. And God's saying, but you're not being obedient in the tithe in the first place. So I want to give to people and I want to bless people who I can funnel my resources through, and you're not being obedient. Listen, if we're going to ask God for things and we're going to believe God for things, let's make sure that we are being obedient in the things that God has already spoken to us before we go and asking for new things. Listen, that's in everything. I heard someone say this once and I love it. And I'm just stealing it, that we are all educated beyond our own obedience. Like, we have to be obedient before we go around asking God for new things. Like for me, I remember when I was in the business world and I was in sales, and I would be like, God, please God, give me these sales. God, I need to grow. God, I need more money. God, I need this. But I wasn't being obedient at all in what God had already called me to in my finances. And it was, I can remember the Sunday that I looked at my wife and I'm like, I'm writing this check. She was just like, shh, don't. No, I'm just playing. But so we wrote this tithe check. It's the first one I remember being like, is the, you know, like you want to like pull it from them? She's like slapping my hand to get me to drop it. But here's the amazing thing. I remember going into work the next morning, Monday. So Sunday, like I struggled with it. I struggled with tithing. I know where you are. I struggled with that. The next morning, I went into work. And I can remember having more sales in one day than I had had like the past 2 to 3 weeks. And I remember, it was Clint Hendry, who's the youth pastor here for a while. I remember calling him and being like, bro, I'm never not giving again. Like I was so like just fired up. And it was because God was faithful. It was because the things I had asked of him, God did after I was obedient to what he had already told me. So let's make sure that we are obedient. And this is what it says in 1 John 5:14-15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. Listen, we know if we are obedient and we are asking in the will of God that we're going to have it. That God is a good God, that God is a just God, that he is not keeping things from us just because. That he wants to, we are his children. That he wants to bless us, that he wants to give to us, that he wants to love us, that he wants you to have that promotion, that he wants you to have that raise, that he wants you to have that new job. But let's be obedient in the things that God has already spoken to us. And the amazing thing is you can do that. You can start that today. When we come at the end of it and we open these altars and we take communion and there's tithes and there's offerings, you can start by saying, God, I am scared to do this. God, I am scared to step in out in obedience, God, but I am trusting you for my finances. God, I am trusting you for my provisions. And God, I know that the economy looks one way, God, but I know that you are above the economy. God, I know that you are above my job situation. God, I know that you are above my income. So God, I'm going to trust and honor and in you, God, that if I do this in obedience, then what I ask of you, God, that you're going to take care of me. But here's the deal. At the end of the day, whatever happens, we yield it to God. And that's point four, man. You yield. What that simply means is you leave it in God's hands. I love what Nehemiah does here. He says, please, remember, he's getting ready to go to the king and say, can I leave and go back to Jerusalem? Please grant me success now as I go to ask the king for a great favor. Put it into his heart to be kind to me. Nehemiah prays this prayer, and he leaves it in God's hands. He leaves it just in God's hands. We need to not tie God to our circumstances. God's love for you is not tied up in your circumstances. God's love for you is tied up in what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And there are too many of us, man, that we pray prayers and we ask God for things, and then we either don't trust him with the answer, so we take it back, or we say, okay, well, God's not good because he didn't answer my prayer. At the end of the day, we have just got to say this: God, I pray this. God, whatever it is, I ask this of you. God, please, I leave it, and it's yours now. And God, I'm not going to say I'm not going to struggle. God, I'm not going to say it's going to be easy, but God, I'm going to give it to you. My daughter next week is having a very big surgery on Wednesday. They're going to tie her stomach in a knot. Four little robot arms are going to go into her entire stomach in a knot. It's kind of like Minority Report type stuff. And so it's because she spits up so easily. And so they're going to tie her stomach in a knot. So hopefully with gravity, things can go down, but things cannot come back up. And we can start to feed her into her stomach, which will help her start gaining weight. And it'll just be a good step forward for her. Well, right now at our house, we have the ability to feed her into her stomach. We don't. We just feed her into her small intestine. So this past week, my family, we sat around our daughter, me and my wife, Becca, and my son, Aiden, and we just said, God, we're going to pray that you would heal her. God, we are going to pray, and we're going to lay hands on her. There's a part in the Old Testament with Jonathan and his armor bearer, and there's a phrase that Jonathan says. He goes, let's go over there. They're getting ready to be in a huge battle, and they're outnumbered like a bajillion to one. And he says, let's go over there, and perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. So we as a family sat around our daughter and said, today, God, we're going to feed Riley into her stomach. If she spits up, she spits up. But God, we're going to pray, and we're going to believe. And God, we're going to step out, and perhaps you will act on our behalf. So we prayed for her. I had all my friends praying for her. All the pastors and staff got together. We prayed for her. I had everybody, just a ton of people praying for her. We fed her into her stomach. 2 hours goes by. She's awesome. And so I'm like, holy cow, like, she's not going to have this surgery. Like, because you don't want your child, your three-year-old daughter, to go through that. My wife calls me. She's like, hey, I just want you to know Riley didn't spit up once, but she spit up four times. So here's what we did. Listen, I'm not mad at God. I don't not trust God because of this. He's not God because of this. What I did is I came to him and I said, God, I'm gonna ask this of you. And I'm going to believe this. And I'm going to know that, God, you are an able God. And God, that you have promised me that you will never leave or forsake me. God, that Jesus Christ is my daughter's healer. I thank you that it is the blood of your son Jesus that flows through her that will heal her. God, please heal her. And she spit up. He's still God. It's still in his hand. I still trust him today as I did before she spit up. I still left it with him. And so listen, there's some of you in here, man, that you in this next moment, you will come to God and you will lay something at this altar. And then in a week or two, you're going to want to take it back. Don't. Yield it. Know this. Know just because your prayer didn't work out the way that you wanted it to doesn't mean that God's still not answering it. And we tie God, and here's the thing. Listen, when we think about our prayers, we have a way that we want God to answer them. Most of the time, I don't know if you guys have learned this, like I have a bazillion times, God's ways are higher and bigger than mine. And so his answers to my prayers look different and better than mine ever could. And so in this next moment, can we respond to this? Can we come to this altar, whether you need to praise God, you need to repent, you need to ask, or you need to yield? Listen, we have the ability to do this through Jesus Christ. It's all because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross that we are able to do any of this. And so in this moment, can we respond? Can we say, God, I need to praise you? Listen, this altar is not just for asking God for things. This altar is also for praising God for who he is. Let's not only run to God when we need stuff. Let's let him just say, there are just days where I'm driving, where I'm like, God, just thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you that I'm mentally sort of all there at times. And God, I thank you for my job. I thank you for my friends. I thank you for my family. God, I thank you for my senior pastor. God, I thank you for the leaders that you've placed in my life. Do you understand? I have no idea how I have gotten to where I am. I have no idea. I preached at First Baptist Church on Friday. Those people were terrified of me. I put on the tightest pants I could find and my tattoo, and I'm like, let's do it, First Baptist. Now, but I have no idea how I've gotten here. And let me tell you, it's all because of Jesus Christ. And it's because I continually come to him with the scary, the hard, the helpful, the difficult, whatever it is, and say, God, I need you. And I yield it and I lay it at his feet. Will you guys pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. God, we thank you that you have made a way. God, we thank you that we have this ability because of Jesus to come and pray and to ask you, God, just for whatever is on our hearts, God. And we know that you are able, God. God, we know that you are not too weak, God, and we know that you are not deaf, God. And God, we just ask that you would draw us closer to you. For some of you in here, you may not even be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And what that means is that you have never accepted that Jesus Christ was your Savior. That he died, that he is your Savior, that he died on the cross for you, giving you a way to come to God and pray. The Bible is clear that there is no way to the Father except through the Son. And so all of this that we're talking about with prayer, all of this that we're talking about with praying and asking, listen, if Jesus Christ isn't your Savior, you are on your own. And so we want to give you a chance to either commit or recommit your life to Jesus Christ. If you want to do either of those two things right now, if you want to commit your life to Christ, saying, God, I've never put my faith in your son, Jesus, that he is my Savior, that he is my Redeemer, I want to do that now. And if you need to just recommit, because man, there's times where we can stray. If that's you, I want you to slip up a hand right now. Amen. 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 You guys can put those down. Now in this next moment, if there's anyone in here that one of those things, pray, repent, ask, or yield, if you know that you need to respond to one of these, whatever it is, whether it's praising, whether it's yielding, whether it's repenting, whether it's asking, that you need to do this in this next moment as we worship, if that's you, I just want you to slip up a hand. Amen. Amen. There's hands everywhere. Amen. Amen. You guys can put those down. Heavenly Father, we thank you. God, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. God, we thank you in these next moment, God, that you are going to draw us closer to you. God, we just pray that you would take us to that next step with you. God, that you would help us, whether it's to praise you, to God, ask for forgiveness, or God, just to bring to you what's on our heart. And God, then at the end of the day, we yield it and we trust you with it, God. God, we love you and thank you in your son's holy name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.